Okay, welcome back everybody to another episode of the Shannon Show podcast, and I cannot express enough how excited I am for this one, because we are having a legend of the Shannon Show. I don't think that's an exaggeration, coming back to complete her trilogy of episodes, as Johnny Hoppy would say, and she is a Shammy Award winner. I'm not even sure if you knew that, but you got a Shammy Award for the most viewed episode of last year's Shammy Awards, and maybe another one this year, we'll see, and also New Zealand's favorite podcast guest. Obviously, Miss Kenna Wells is back on the show. Kenna, how are you doing today?
I am kind of tired, kind of, you know, all over the place, but I'm so excited to be here.
Well, pretty understandable. I mean, you've had like a pretty hectic last few weeks, I can imagine, getting out to Ecuador, where you're joining us for the show today. Tell me a little bit about your first impressions of Ecuador. How's that going for you?
Well, if you remember me talking about it last time, I lived in Spain previously.
Yes.
As one of my dad's duty stations. So Ecuador is actually very similar to Spain, you can imagine. So first impressions was kind of like it felt a little homey in a sense, especially since I've been living in the States. And when you're a military kid who doesn't live in the States, like it doesn't feel like home. So this feels like home. Which is so
cool. My goodness, you're unbelievable. Your wiring is just so messed up. I was gonna say, like, I feel like you're barely ever in the States. Like, I don't know the last time you've lived in the States for an extended amount of time. I guess like freshman, sophomore year of college, a little bit.
Yeah, the longest I've lived in a place I think is 5 years, so college won't even beat that.
Nope, not even close, actually. Wow. But this is like a study abroad trip, right? This is for a semester.
Yeah.
And remind me and for everyone else, what are you studying and what are some of the classes you're taking and what you're doing in Ecuador?
Yeah, so I'm studying English. That's my major. And then I have a minor in Spanish. But while I'm here, I'm getting my certificate in TESOL. So I don't know if you remember, or like ESL, just teaching English as a foreign language. So I'm actually here in Ecuador to get certified in that, but also working in Spanish for my Spanish minor. So right now my English degree is kind of on hold, but it's okay. Totally worth it.
English degree inspired by Mr. Koya, correct?
Yes.
Yes, look at that.
It's going great. It's going great.
Is it really? Like, honestly? That's good. That's, I don't, what does that entail? Are you just like writing and reading all the time? Like, are you trying to become, you're trying to become a teacher though. So there's some of that as well, right?
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Okay, so I actually plan on, after I graduate with my bachelor's in English, just getting my master's in secondary English education. Okay. Because with an English major, you're not just ready to teach. Like, you're an English major, but that's all you are. Like, you don't have the education background. So I plan on getting the education background. But yeah, as, like, so far in school, what I'm doing is I'll take, like, American Lit, which is just pretty basic, like, read books, read poems, write about it. But I actually just took a class last semester. It was called Legal Research and Writing. And I am a certified paralegal now through that class, which is so cool.
What does that even mean? What do you mean certified paralegal?
So when you take the course, you have to go through a certification because it is legal research and writing. You are opening up real cases and files that are either still active or inactive. So you have to be certified to do that. So I'm a certified paralegal, which also means after college, I can be a paralegal as a job, which means I write what lawyers and people in court would say. So I do all like the dirty work and then I hand it to someone and say, here you go. Not what I really want to do in life, but it was so cool. So I got to write, we did like case briefs where we were like, this is case like Johnson against Clemson and this is what happened in the case. So really different from English, but it like changed your mindset on how to write. It was so unique.
That is totally different. So is that that's an example of something you can do with just an English major then if you're not doing it in school? Gotcha. Is there anything else that would interest you?
Probably not to the viewers, but to me it's really cool. I took advanced grammar and I just had a blast. We like ripped up writings. I know, it's so bad. We
advanced grammar.
I know, I'm such a nerd.
So much fun.
It's Mr. Koya.
English nerd. Yeah, we'll blame him. It's okay. Yeah.
Do you remember our grammar parts in his class where he was like, do you remember the difference between affect and effect? And we were all like, help.
Yeah, and then like I remember he bashed me because I still don't know how to use semicolons. Like I don't know. I just don't know, Kenna. Maybe you can give me a crash course because my semicolon usage is just, I'm just guessing every time. I'm like, could be a comma, could be a colon, semicolon.
That's, exactly. That's usually how it goes. Fine. It's fine. If you're not an English major, it's totally excusable.
Right.
But yeah, had advanced grammar. And that class was so cool. We would just rip up writings and be like, this is a noun, this is an adverb, this is an adjective. Mm-hmm. But what you're taught in school is so different than what I was actually taught in this class. Like, people are like, adverbs are this and adjectives describe nouns. But it's way deeper than that. And so you can look at something and be like, I think that's an adverb, but like, really, it's something else. So really interesting to me, probably not interesting to other people.
Okay. I mean, you're doing what you're passionate about, which I think is important.
Exactly.
Yeah, the deeper meaning behind adverbs. Like, yeah, not sure if that's something that interests most people, but someone has to do it. If there's not Kenna Wells, then no one else else, right? Maybe. I don't know.
You mean Mr. Coyle?
Yeah, exactly. So you said you took Spanish back in high school as well, but I'm assuming you've gone to a whole nother level now. How's your Spanish holding up now that you're in Ecuador and it's like kind of, you have to kind of live on it, don't you?
Well, you're talking about someone who took Miss Menendez, so
probably
wasn't great to start out.
Edna from The Incredibles.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was in Spanish 1 and then skipped to Spanish 3 when I was in Cumbi, and that kind of gave me some holes in my Spanish.
You're advanced.
Well, that gave me holes in my Spanish because it's also Miss Menendez, so like, didn't learn anything. So I had Spanish 1 knowledge in this Spanish 3 class, which was great. I had a background in living in Spain, so like, would know words, but not know like where they came from, how to spell them or anything. And then when I got to college, I do have a Spanish minor. My school, however, is not like the Spanish institution. So we have beginner A, beginner B, intermediate A, and intermediate B, and that's it. Obviously, I'm not beginner, so I didn't take that. So I've only taken 2 Spanish courses at my school, and that's all we have. I'm a Spanish minor.
So now you have the minor. You have the minor now, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do. It's the easiest minor ever. You just take 2 classes?
It's not. I have to have, I think it's like 18 credits worth of Spanish. I don't remember. I don't know. Which is why I'm here in Ecuador. My Spanish
sense.
Is like, I can get around. I can have a conversation. People who who aren't fluent think I'm fluent, but people who are fluent know I'm absolutely not fluent in Spanish.
Well,
so I'm trying.
I consider you fluent then. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. You amaze me. You mentioned just a little bit ago before the show, you're living with 12 other people in Ecuador? That's quite the living situation to get accustomed to.
How's that? Here's my house.
There's 11 people in there right now? Maybe?
Yeah, actually, we don't live in the top floor. We're just that floor.
You're just above.
So. I know. It's actually
What's the situation? Okay. Are these bunk beds? Are you guys just like, what's going on in there?
Yeah, we're roughing it. So when you walk into the house, there's 3 bedrooms that are like pretty like basic small dorm bedroom size. You have a bunk bed, you have a desk, and that is it. Like, you walk in, that's all you have. That's my situation.
Yeah.
Then there's another room that is the master bedroom, and it has 2 bunk beds and 1 bed, so 5 people in it. And there's 2 bathrooms. Like, so far it's going fine.
Master.
Yeah, master. I use that very loosely because it's just like it's a pretty average size room.
Gotcha.
So far, it's going great. I think being a military kid really helps you have experiences and relations that help you relate to other people. So like, everyone in the house is like, oh, I've gone through this, or I'm like going through this. Me too. Done that.
Yeah.
Been there.
This is why you're such a good guest. Really nice. Look, you're tying in the military kid things. I don't even have to prompt it, guys. I just sit here and listen.
It's because my brain is wired to like respond how I write in a paper. Like, you know,
right.
Get those examples.
Okay. Gotcha.
But yeah.
Did you know them beforehand? Sorry.
Actually, 2 of them go to my school back at home.
Okay.
One of them I did know. The other one I did not. However, our house is just our house, and there's 12 of us in here. There's another house down the street with 10 girls, I think, and then there's a house with 7 boys. So all combined, I think there's like 28, 29 of us, maybe 30. But we all live in about like 3 houses in this area. So
What's
this is just my house.
I'm really interested in this. What's the food situation? Like, is there like grocery? Like, I don't mean to sound ignorant, but I don't know anything about this Ecuador place. All right, I'm not even sure if it exists.
You know,
I'm skeptical about foreign countries and their existence. So tell me a little bit about your daily life. Give me like a day in the life of Kenna. Like, pretend it is a vlog almost. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if we want to just go through today.
Let's do it.
I wake up at 6:20. So
what? 6:20?
Yeah. So I can leave at
do that grammar grind.
So I can leave at 7:30 and walk 30 minutes to get to my internship by 8. Yes. That's already the morning. Like, that's
brutal.
Step one.
Yeah.
I get to my internship. My internship is at a non-government funded school. So I'm actually not sure. It's a private school here in Ecuador, but their schooling system is so, it's just flipped upside down. So I go to a private school and I'm a teacher's aide, even though I haven't done much aiding. She kind of has just said, here's the class, have fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
They love must love you.
It's
yeah.
So fun. Oh yeah. What a time in our class. So I stay 4 hours, 8 to 12, to my internship. I walk 30 minutes back home. I get home around like 12:30, 12:40, and then I have 20 minutes to make lunch, eat lunch, and get to my class by 1.
Wonderful. You're very busy.
And yeah, I'm very busy. And then I have class 1 to 4. It's a 3-hour class. We get a break in between. That's just today. Mondays are my worst days because all of this is the same. But after my 1 to 4 class, I have a 4 to 6 class. And remind you, these are all in Spanish. So I'm just sitting in class absorbing all the Spanish. And by the end of the day, I am exhausted.
And you still have time for the Shannon Show podcast, which is really what's most important in this schedule. Like,
yes,
this is being able to squeeze me in. I'm so much more grateful now. Jesus. Wow. That is quite the day. So what's the Kenna Wells teaching experience? What are these kids getting? Are they as a teaching aide? Like, what are some of the lesson plans here? How old are they?
Okay, so I help out with 8th grade, 7th grade, and 6th grade. And today, I can tell you what I did in class. So today for 8th grade, this is a teacher saying, right before class, like, hey, you're going to be in there by yourself, by the way. And I'm like, this is wonderful.
Sweet.
I have no materials. I have no lesson plan. I'm just like,
those kids are kind of old. They're 7th, 8th grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this is also an English speaking school. So they're there to learn English. This does not mean that everyone speaks English. So you might have a kid who's like super fluent, understands everything. And then you have a kid who everything is going over their head. Like, they look at you with just this face of, I have no idea what you want from me. And so today with my 8th grade class, walked in, and what I did is I told them we were doing a listening activity where I was going to draw a picture on the board, like step by step, and they took their notebooks and they have to stick it on their head and write the picture on their head and try to see who can do the picture the best. So we drew an island. It was fun. I thought it was fun.
Should they be learning their adverbs? They're too old for this, Kenna.
Hey,
get down to business.
Out.
We're playing Pictionary.
They love my teaching style, and I'm
right.
So we did like draw water, draw an island, draw a palm tree, draw a sun, and then at the end I was like, okay, now look at your picture, and they were all just like scribbles all over the page. You couldn't see a single thing. They were laughing. It was so funny. It was great. Afterwards we did a real activity. It was like spelling. So I'd say a word, they'd have to spell it, and then after we were all done with, like, I think it's like 10 words, I had them go back and say, okay, I don't know, I'd pick on a kid and be like, can you spell number one? What was number one? And they would say trampoline, and then we would spell trampoline.
Awesome. I would be so nervous. I can't with that stuff, man. Like, kids, they stress me out, bro. And that, like, in middle school age, they're so judgmental. I can't, but they're also old enough. Like, they're
so
smart enough. They're like, they are. Middle schoolers are mean, man. Did you not go to middle school, Kenna? Come on.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, they're mean, and they're like old enough that they have like thoughts and emotions. Not that younger
kids
don't.
They don't know how to compute them, so they just say it how they see it, and you're like, that's great.
Brutally honest, sometimes incredibly awkward, but also brutally honest. Like, just a bad mixture, bad time to be a kid. Those years, unless you're a military kid and you're listening to the Shantro podcast, in which I really love all you guys. You have some experience. All right, I'm a mess these days, Kenna. The structure has just gone out the window. I'm just like, I'm just winging these episodes, it feels like. But you have experience working with kids before, because this past summer you were doing some camp counseling, if I'm not mistaken, with Windshape Camps.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about Windshape and what makes those camps unique.
Gotcha. So I actually didn't know anything about Windshape before going. My
Mm-hmm.
roommate said the day before they closed their interviews, like she just came up to me and was like, "By the way, I'm gonna try out to be this camp counselor for this camp, but the due date was today. So sorry." And I was like, "Man, I would have loved that. It sounds so fun." Later down the semester, they came to our school and they still needed counselors. They didn't have enough, and so I was like, "I'm gonna hop on that." So I got in. Me and my roommate got to go to the same place, got to be counselors in the same location. So much fun, especially since I'm studying abroad. It was like my time with my roommate. We are best friends. And so now I'm separated from her, tragically. It's
I'm so
okay.
sorry. Are you gonna make it?
I think I will. I think I will.
Okay, that's good.
But Windshape, once I got there, I realized the environment there was just so healthy and so awesome. If you don't know, they're a Christian camp. So all the
Okay.
kids who come to Windshape are there to learn about God, learn about Jesus, and just kind of grow in their faith. And what they did at the beginning was they did a week of training, which makes sense. Like, I don't know how to be a camp counselor. I've never done it in my life.
Sure
But
you do.
the
Yeah, but
training wasn't, yeah, the training wasn't just like how to be a camp counselor. It was also like, what are you dealing with in life and how can we fill you so that you can fill kids, which I loved and was
wow,
so
that's
cool.
deep.
It was so deep. Yeah. So it
Wow.
was a unique experience. We got real close real fast, but I loved it. And I spent 10 weeks with these people. So it was, everything was intentional. Then I got into camp and I was a counselor, just kind of jumped in, did it. I had
Yeah.
the same kids for a whole week, so it was an overnight camp. So like I slept with them, woke up with them, had to make sure they brushed their teeth, constantly remind them to have their water bottles, like put sunscreen on, all this. Like they say it's not parenting, but when you're a camp counselor, you're like, this is parenting.
It sounds
So
like it, yes.
yeah, but also at the same time, I'm teaching because I'm teaching them about the Bible, teaching them how to read the
Yeah.
Bible, how to pray, just like how to deal with stuff in life. And like at points, because I was with third and fourth grade, they're kind of right at that age where they're now dealing with real emotions and thoughts that they don't know how to comprehend.
Right.
And so it was, I shouldn't say real. All emotions are real, but you just
Yeah, I
have
know.
to
I said
wade
the same thing. I
deeper.
think you got that from me. You don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. All emotions are
Yeah.
real. All feelings are valid.
Yes, it was just they're on a different level and they don't know how to like
Right.
outwardly express them. And so it was nice just to sit down with them and be like, "What are we going through in life? Like, what can I,
Yeah.
how can I help you?" And they would just like pour their souls out to me and I was like, "This is so sweet." So I'd give them my
Oh my
advice.
goodness.
But it was being a teacher for the summer. It was
Yeah.
awesome. I was also the extreme games teacher, which was so cool. So I got to
That is
teach
right up your
extreme
alley. Oh
games.
my goodness.
It's
I remember your
you
fast
have
pass
no
days.
idea.
Yeah, that is so you.
You have no idea. We played, what did we play? We played bubble soccer. So I had to like teach them how to get into a
Oh.
bubble. So if you imagine once a week for 10 weeks, I'm getting inside one of these giant bubbles and like
Yeah.
pushing
Are you
kids
just
over.
wrecking kids? Exactly.
And it was my favorite part of the week because when you've seen kids and have to like be with kids for 10 weeks, love children. But when you get to get in those bubbles and know that you can't hurt them, I mean, I was just like, boom, down goes the bubble. Boom. I was like,
Didn't know
run
you had
at
that
me, give
side
me your best
to
shot. Oh, be a camp counselor for 10 weeks. Everyone has that side.
Okay, sounds good.
But
That
yeah,
is so
Windshape was
funny.
so great. And then we had a thing called post camp because obviously we have to tear it down, clean it up, put it all
Yeah.
back. But they are very intentional with these, like all the counselors had been there for 10 weeks. This is a new like system, new way of life. When you go back home, it's going to be different. You're going to feel different. So they were very intentional in like making sure you were okay and like,
Yeah.
what is your home life like? What are you going back home to? And just everyone kind of prayed for each other. And it's been a good send off and it was so nice. So highly recommend for anyone who wants to be a camp counselor. Windshape was the way to go. I got paid pretty well. I got free food during the week and free housing and I got paid. Oh, I actually ended up getting COVID over the summer for the second
Oh,
time.
the
Yeah.
second
And I got a
time?
paid the second time.
Jeez,
Second time.
Kenna.
And
Beef
I
up
got a
that immune
paid week
system. What's
off.
going on here?
I know, I don't
Oh.
know. You think I'm a military kid, I'm invincible.
Yeah, you should be more resilient to these things. Come on
I
now.
know.
But
Because I lived in Japan, they don't like germs.
right. Wait, what? Yeah, okay, sure. I was gonna say, oh yes, I think it's so important. We have a guest join us here in just a second, but I think it's so important for you to serve that role in their lives, because I know for me, I know they're not necessarily military kids, but just to have someone else to talk to,
Yeah.
whether it's a camp counselor or just a coach or some other mentor. So that must be so cool for you, because I'm sure you had some of those people for you growing up, and to be able to fill that shoes for other kids. That's, I can imagine it can be really fulfilling. And I think we all, like, part of us all wants to do that, as long as it comes with beating them up in bubble soccer as well. Which is which is great. I'm sure they loved you as well, and you're so you're a very nice person, obviously, guys. Come on, we all know this.
Thank you.
Must be so much fun for them. I think we'll get back to Ecuador. We might get back to the camp counseling, but right now I have to do a little segue here, Kenna, because as many people know, last episode I said something that was a little controversial, and that I made the statement, despite you claiming to be in New Zealand at the time, that New Zealand did not exist. And some could call it a hot take. I think that that's just kind of, it's just something that I believe in. It's one of my core values, is that New Zealand isn't real. And I am just so excited today to welcome a scientist from, she's actually the director of research, Kenna, from the Arizona Bay Center of Geology, specializing in continental drift and tectonic plates, Dr. Agustina Gonzalez. Thank you so much for coming on the show today to help us settle my hypothesis once and for all regarding New Zealand's whereabouts and my belief that it does not, in fact, exist.
Thank you, Shannon. It is a great honor to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you, because this is something that my friend Kenna and I would like to introduce. Kenna, this is Kenna Wells. She's actually in Ecuador right now. I know you're from Chile originally, doctor. But I've had this belief for a long time. Maybe you could call it a hunch. Maybe it's a hunch that New Zealand, like, I just didn't buy into it. Like, there's just some like some island off the coast of Australia that has these volcanoes and weird animals and birds that don't fly and toilets that flush the wrong ways. Like, it just, I wasn't feeling it. So I wanted to ask you, as a professional, about the whereabouts of this country that claims to be New Zealand. I don't think it's a real place. Can you testify to this?
Well, your confusion is completely warranted. This is going to sound absolutely crazy, but your theory is not unheard of. This happens to be a very wildly controversial phenomenon called lost continents. These lost continents are scattered across the depths of our very vast ocean. Mm-hmm. The largest piece of submerged landmass is actually none other than New Zealand. Many laugh at the idea. They think it's crazy, but slowly it is becoming more widely accepted in the science community. There is simply no tangible evidence that the nation or even the landmass of New Zealand currently sits where our map suggests, or even that it existed in the first place.
That is the best news I may have ever heard, period. This is the best day of my life, Kenna. Thank you, doctor, so much for bringing this to my attention, because now to have some scientific, just an opinion of your own, of such high regard, such high, you know, what do you call it, ethos, Kenna? Would it be ethos in this situation? Yes, it would be such quality ethos. I am so excited to hear this. Have you done any research to back up these claims? Because like I said, it's mostly a hunch for me. I'm sure you've done extensive research on this, if you don't mind sharing.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. This is a little bit complicated. The Earth's crust emits very small levels of radiation due to traces of uranium near the surface of the Earth. ABC Geology teamed with the United States government to fly over the Southern Hemisphere with B-22s. with Geiger counters in hopes, of locating lost continents beneath our vast ocean. Excuse me, something funny?
I am very close with V-22s. It's an aircraft I hold near and dear to my heart. That's so good to hear that there's some scientific evidence in collaboration with the United States government to work on this. Yes.
I am very happy you feel connected to this issue.
Yes.
But while we were trying to look for radiation on that side of the vast ocean, we could not find any. Shocked. No radiation was detected on the eastern side of the very vast Tasmanian Sea, leaving us with a stunning finding that New Zealand has never even existed in the first place.
This is, I would like to apologize to a lot of people, actually, because a lot of people comment on my videos saying how near and dear the nation of New Zealand is to their heart. And first of all, I'd like to call them out for being big fat liars this entire time. But also, like, they might just be delusional. They might just have these beliefs that are just stem from really deep places within. So I would like to kind of apologize at the same time. saying like, you know, I'm sorry you've been misled your entire life and strayed so far from the truth. And now that we have scientific opinion backing this up, I cannot imagine what you must be feeling right now, the amount of emotional turbulence that's going on there. So, Doc G, what do you think happened to it? How could so many people be fooled by such a phenomenon?
Listen,
this is really cool. Is that a waffle?
It's been a long day at the lab. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit peckish. But listen, this is actually very simple. If enough people talk about something, then enough people are going to believe it.
Really?
Have you ever heard of the Mandela effect? Why do you think so many people believe that Mandela died in the 1980s?
Right.
People believe fake news all the time. This is no different.
I completely see where you're going with that. And once again, this just must be breaking news, to say the least. And I hope that this like starts to get out there and people understand that this nation has never existed and is probably just one of those lost continents, possibly deeply submerged in our very vast oceans, as you would say, Doctor. But Doctor, thank you so much again for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. And I really appreciate your professionalism throughout.
Yes, of course. Shannon, thank you for having me. Kenna, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, I'm sure we'll have you on the show again another time. Have a great evening, Dr. Gonzalez. Yeah. Oh, so Kenna, what do you think of that? Got some scientific evidence there. Any questions?
No questions. I just like to point out that, you know, you're really coming for me and getting my fake high school diploma because clearly I didn't graduate from New Zealand.
Yeah, it's so, not valid. I'm really sorry.
They could come for me at any time.
Yeah, oh my, when she put on the goggles, man, I lost it. I was crying. I think I just bit up some water.
It was just bad because I heard you laughing, but I couldn't see you. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Oh, you know? And then the waffle.
Because when you put the waffle.
And she said... Oh man, that's a classic Chilean thing to do, actually.
Oh yeah.
Wave waffles at people.
Yeah.
I see a little bit of it here in Ecuador.
Oh, there's some Chileans there with waffles?
Yeah, it's like a thing. Oh. It's when they're being really serious. Wave waffles. Wave a waffle. Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that before. That's quite bizarre. You know, these foreign customs, they just really throw me off sometimes. It's mm-hmm. You know, it takes time to get used to those things. Yeah, I mean, Japanese people with the bowing, like it took me a little bit of time, but the waffle waving, that's, whew, man, totally new bag of tricks there.
Yeah.
Kenna, I think we need to get real serious. So let's hop into our preposterous predicament now. If you don't mind, for a little fun would you rather question, just to keep it going. Episode this already is.
I'm ready.
So utmost seriousness, as always, you're a legend at this. You know exactly where we're going with here.
Three seconds on the clock. I'm playing basketball. Time for an in-your-face disgrace! Are you okay? My nose is in my brain! Let me see.
Both of these options are for the rest of your life. Would you rather, every time you go outside, you step on a piece of gum? So this is no matter what, you can try to dodge it, you can't even see it necessarily. There's always going to be gum on one of your shoes every time you go out. Or, every single time you go out, you always kind of have to poop. Like, just like not a lot, just like there's like just like a little bit. Like,
it's
you
not, just. It's not like. It's not fully crowned.
No, not at all.
It's just
at all. I don't want to put you in that situation. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to. That can lead to all other messes that I don't think that you should have to deal with. So, just like a little bit. Like, you just had like that morning cup of coffee. You can just like stern a little bit.
I was going to say, everyone who has caffeine and is like out the door, isn't that everyone's predicament like every day? Kind of like, who wants to use public bathrooms? Who, like, you wait until you get home. So, I don't know. I feel
and
like
you have a 30-minute walk, right there, too. Then.
Well, when you're walking, you know. I don't know, because the gum is just like, it's an annoyance. But I also wouldn't mind just grabbing it with my hand and pulling it off. Like, I'd probably just be like, oh. Darn, again, daily activity, here we go.
That's also kind of gross. I think both, it's important to know both of these are minor inconveniences. Like, I've had much
just
more
minor
consequential options on the show before. But yeah, what are you thinking?
I think I was sounding like I was leaning towards one, but I think I would do gum due to the fact that mm-hmm. I have no shame of just pulling the gum off my foot. Like, just, ew, out you go. Continue
on with the day. That actually makes a lot of sense. I'm almost because tempted.
Right? I want to do the other one, but I'm like, no, the gum is just like, there, it's done. Whereas mm-hmm. the other one is like, it's kind of like a consistent, like, wish I could just sit on the toilet right now.
Right. You wish, but like, you're not there yet, which is like probably the worst part. Because if you really got to go and you go, it's done with. But if it's like, mm-hmm. you know, if the option exists, I can just take the gum off the shoe. I would probably always have like a spatula or something with me because I'm not going to touch it. I'm a little
sensitive
to those things.
In the pockets.
Yeah. And quite frankly, since you've gotten COVID twice, you shouldn't be risking this anyways. You should probably always have the gloves on. What are we talking about
here? I'm invincible.
Now that you have it twice, we would like to think so. Sometimes I forget this is a Military Kid podcast. We've strayed so far from like where we started with this.
This is just a Kenna and Shannon podcast now.
It's its own special series at this point. But yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the gum as well. Now, if I said that the gum, you can't take it off your shoe, it's just like, it's these world's strongest gum, it's impossible to remove. Would that change your answer at all?
It would, because that's an external issue that other people can see, and it's just like constantly annoying me. The mm-hmm. other one's an internal one. You can just play it off like you're cool and be like, yeah, I don't have to use the bathroom. That's great.
As if people are like asking that, they're like, oh my God, you really look like you have to poop right now. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You have to like deny it. You're like, no. Yeah, because that's a normal situation, right? Clearly.
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right, so everyone let me know what you guys think. I think I'm going to go with the gum, but I think we're actually perfectly lined up on this. If I can take the gum off, makes sense. If I can't, then I'll just battle my internal battles at my lonesome, I suppose.
My internal. Yes, between me and me. How strong can I be?
right, exactly. You hit the nail on the head right there. Well, so that wraps up our preposterous predicament. I love those so much. So let's talk about moving to Ecuador just a little bit more. What has this process been like, the actual move itself? You came from Florida, correct?
Yeah.
Right. So what could you bring with you? What could you not bring with you? What did you prepare? Did you do some more Spanish crash course? What were you worried about coming here?
Most worried, definitely Spanish, due to the fact that freshman year of college was when I finished my Spanish, so I've been a year without Spanish, which is pretty rough when you live in the States and people speak English, southern accents.
Clearly.
But moving to Ecuador, what I could bring, they recommended like a suitcase or two. I know that I tend to buy things overseas because that's like, when you're overseas, like, why not? Especially Ecuador's pretty cheap, so it's pretty fun to just, you know, snag something here and there. I packed all my stuff in one suitcase and got it packed in one, but had no room for like anything extra. And I was like, this is not going to end well. So I ended up splitting it. So I had like two half empty suitcases. Don't think that's really that bad. Especially I'm here for 4 months. So 4 months, I brought basically one suitcase. Clothes wise. So we're actually going to the Galapagos and we're going to Machu Picchu.
I was going to ask that with Galapagos.
Yes. Okay. So in Ecuador, I'm up in the mountains, so it's actually pretty cold or like cool. It's like temperate, but like you'll have your days where it's cloudy. So right now today, it's very cloudy, so it's cool. So I'm like wearing a sweater in September. This is not Florida.
No, not the Florida heat. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I came a little unprepared cold weather wise because I figured, oh, it's Ecuador. It's pretty temperate. I'm used to this. So I brought a jacket, but I have to go to internship. I brought a rain jacket and a hoodie, but when you're teaching at a school, like I like to look a little bit more professional. So they have these sweaters. They're so cool. They have alpacas on them. I don't know.
That is actually very swaggy. That is incredible.
Yeah. I have two of them. They're addicting.
Addicting. Like, you can't help but put it on. You're just like, oh, I can't.
No, I can't help but buy them. They have these artisan markets. Sorry, the traffic's really bad. They have these artisan markets and they have sweaters. Like they're all alpaca fur. They have sweaters, jackets, blankets, ponchos. I have accumulated 2 ponchos and 2 sweaters, and I've been here a month. Mm-hmm. It's been great. I'm living the life. You know, you're sitting in your house. You want to talk about, like, the Snuggie life? You remember Snuggies? You
put a poncho on. Do remember Snuggies.
Life changer. Life changer.
Because of ponchos?
Yeah, because it's like a blanket that's just constantly on your body.
I've never been a poncho guy. I don't like the look. It's just like you're just wearing a big trash bag. Yeah, sorry, I don't mean to, like, hate on your ponchos.
No,
I would get them at, like, SeaWorld, which this is not a pro SeaWorld podcast, but SeaWorld is the place to wear a poncho. I mean, you got the whales splashing, water coming up. You got to have a little protection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that one. sweet. So what are you looking forward to in Ecuador? What are some of your hobbies, actually? Like, do you have any time for fun? I know you're so busy. Is there any underwater hockey opportunities, Kenna Wells?
No, I actually just talked to my kids about underwater hockey today. We were writing sports on the board, and I told them about it, and they were like, I don't believe you. And I was like, yeah.
I knew they were going to have that reaction. I didn't believe you either.
It's real, I promise. Or is it? I don't know.
Depends where they play it.
Exactly. Wait, I'm trying to remember your question. Sorry, we got a little
hobbies. What are you doing for fun? Any underwater hockey? Yes. No underwater hockey.
So the program I'm with actually does, they do, like, day trips on Saturdays. So the weekend that I have is taken up. I think it wasn't, was it last Saturday? I don't actually remember. I think it was last Saturday. Last Saturday they had us up at 5:45 out on a bus in the morning.
Oh, that's disgusting.
The one day I have to sleep in, man. We were out in the bus. We drove about like 3 hours and went to this mountain called Kilauea. And at the bottom, it's a crater. It's a volcano, but at the bottom is like a lake. So it's just a giant crater. So we went there for a weekend. We're going to a place called Baños. We've gone to like the equator line in Ecuador and did like some balancing tricks where, like, because it's like, it's right on the equator. So it either has to lean to one side or the other. It's really hard to balance things right on the equator. There's some science.
Whoa,
to that.
What? I
couldn't explain all of it.
Wait, yeah, so it's super cool. What are you trying to balance? What exactly are you balancing?
So, like, they have like this egg station where there's a nail and you're trying to balance an egg on it.
I feel like that'd be hard wherever you are. Wait a minute. This is like such a scam.
Like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. but if you balance it, you get this little certificate that says Egg Master. I end up doing it. Pretty proud of myself.
So you're telling me you're a certified Egg Master?
Yeah, I'm an Egg Master in Ecuador, man.
Wow. That's excellent.
But they also do...
I'm sorry. Sorry.
I've lost it.
I know. Oh. That's actually so much better than you want up to me. I feel a little better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great yoke, I have to tell you.
Oh, okay. This is the dad joke pod. I feel like you've talked about this before. Wait a minute.
I'm getting weird deja vu too.
Have we made a podcast about eggs in like an alternate universe?
I don't know. I feel like maybe we had an egg joke session last time.
There's no way. I'll have to go back and look. But maybe like another dimension, you and I have a cooking show instead of a podcast. And like we're just like cracking eggs, cracking jokes. Maybe that's the name of it, cracking eggs and jokes. Maybe this should just be a thing. Can you cook? I can't cook.
I actually have to cook for myself while I'm here. So I've been Mrs. Gourmet Chef over here.
Well, give me some of your some of your top meals so far, Kenna?
Oh, my top meals, heaven above.
And then I'll share mine here in Pennsylvania.
So we have these things called house nights where once a week, 2 people cook for the entire house just to give everyone a break from cooking, kind of have a home-cooked meal. I did garlic parmesan fried chicken and mac and cheese and a fruit salad.
You already had
And I made cookies. Yeah, so it was so good. But when you have to make like quick meals, like it's all about how quick can you make a meal. My breakfast go-to is a pesto fried egg on toast. So good. I highly recommend. And then for lunch, very recently I've been doing ramen, but not like you're like put it in the microwave.
Maruchan.
Like ramen. I like
cup noodles.
Yeah. Like I use the cup noodles, but I don't make the cup noodles. That makes sense. I put it in the skillet with garlic butter, soy sauce, and brown sugar with everything bagel seasoning.
Oh,
egg in it. So good. So good.
Oh, so the cooking show could happen. All right. So I also have ramen pretty regularly. The thing I do actually is I put a little bit of a tap water in the cup, a little styrofoam cup, a little tap water in there. So there's like a little line, right? And then I fill it up and then it'll come like just about even with the line. Sometimes if I'm wanting to splurge, I go a little more if I want to get a little soupy action.
You got to be precise.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know me, just like dabbling into different fields. Cooking just happens to be one of them. And I stick it in the microwave like 90 seconds, take it out, give it a little stir, put it in like 30 more, and then bring it out nice and steamy, slurping on up. It's like basically Okinawa quality, if we're being honest.
I think you have me beat on that one.
Yeah. I cannot listen. I'm not like, that's not my role here to one up you and everything. Actually, let me tell you another kitchen fail I had recently, because this is just so embarrassing. I feel like it's worth sharing. I was making pasta, right? It's really hard to mess with pasta, you would think.
You burned the water.
No, you can do that. If that's possible, then I'm doing that very soon. That is going to happen. But I have the pasta. I like cook it up. It's all like al dente, you know, as they say. I pour it into the strainer. I'm shaking the water out of it, and I put the strainer on the stovetop, on the hot stovetop that I just cooked the pasta on. And I go and I'm like putting my sauce together, my ragu, and then I come back and the strainer is like 3 inches shorter.
It's like tilting and like just giving up on life.
It's just melting at the bottom. There's just plastic melting everywhere. I'm like, oh my God. Like, it was a jarring experience. And yeah, it was rough, but the pasta was still good, believe it or not. It didn't get quite to the bottom, so the pasta quality was changed in any way, thankfully. So I still had a good spaghetti with ragu meal, as you might be jealous of.
Little side of plastic, right?
Yeah, a little side, just a little, you know, something. And then, yeah. Sometimes I'll put like black pepper in there. I don't want to get too excited. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm not sure if you had lunch today, but I'm starting to get a little hungry just talking about this.
I only had Dino chicken nuggets for lunch. So
Dino chicken. See, why didn't you say that was one of your meals? See, you made me feel a lot better about myself. You're like, oh, pesto mané, go, you know. But no,
because sometimes you just don't have time, Shannon.
Exactly. All right. So tell me your Dino chicken nugget recipe, right? Yeah, you throw it in the oven because they're frozen. Exactly.
Yeah. You got to take the bag. You got to tear it just right. You got to count the portion size. Make sure all of the dinos are in line. You know, head to toe.
Are these what kind of species do we have here?
Oh, all types. We have Tyrannosaurus Rex. We've got
Stegosaurus.
Stegosaurus.
Velociraptor.
You know, we've got them all. Oh yeah.
Did you just make up a dinosaur species? We're going to let that one slide. Go ahead. You're an English major.
Yeah. You just have to sound like you know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. We should get you like vowel nuggets or something. Just like letters. They have a like alphabet soup. Actually, you must love that.
Yes. They have alphabet like pasta here. And I really have been wanting to buy it. It's not soup. It's just the pasta. And I really want to. And it's taken a lot in me not to. But I might.
So what's appealing to that to you? Do you want like your letters to float up? You're like, oh my God, that made an adverb. No.
Well, actually, it would be an adverbial, but yes.
Oh, sorry. Definition games.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Letters, I'm English.
I got you.
It's like
scientists
with beakers, you know? I feel like scientists...
Or goggles, apparently.
Exactly. Yes, goggles, exactly, you know?
Or waffles. Exactly. Maybe that was a scientist thing, not a Chilean thing. Is your family still in New Zealand?
No. So when I was last on the podcast, I was visiting my family over the summer, but because of military, you know that how that goes. My dad actually ended up getting stationed that September, so I was there from like May till August, and then he got stationed I think around like September, October time. He's come back to the States since then. My dad is stationed in Virginia. He's at Newport News. He's been there, I think, almost a year. Yeah, almost a year. He's been doing his thing, deploying, all the fun stuff. But no, my parents are no longer in New Zealand.
Gotcha.
They're back in the States.
Was that upsetting for you in any way?
Like, yes and no. Like, when summer comes or, like, holidays come, you're kind of like, guess I'll just drive 2 hours north.
Oh, lame. Oh, boo. I want to travel across the world. My bad.
Yeah. But actually, you wouldn't have known this because I was in New Zealand. But when I was in New Zealand, my summer job was a bartender and a barista because New Zealand drinking age. Yeah, the drinking age is 18. So I was a bartender. It was so much fun. So that's kind of what's sad is like you can't go overseas and have those cool experiences as much as you can here in the States. Like, because obviously I'm 20 right now, so can't be. I don't think I can be a legal bartender, but just you get to do those weird things over summer, which just like make your entire summer. But since then, my parents coming back, they actually ended up getting a divorce on their way back over to New
York. That's awful. I'm sorry.
So yeah, So we're going, we're working through it. It's okay on my end. We're all good. But yeah, so my dad is stationed in Virginia. My mom's 2 hours from my school in Florida. So it's been pretty cool. But that's the hard thing is, like, you're used to, like, going overseas and, like, having Christmases together. And now it's all kind of in shambles and kind of messed up. But this year for holidays, I'm actually going to Germany to go see my brother.
Of course you are.
And then my family's collectively going to Spain together.
Okay.
And
you just don't stop, do you?
No, I really don't. It's so bad. I get back from Ecuador the 9th at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we leave for Europe the 10th at 5 o'clock at night. So like, I'm not even in the States 24 hours, and I'm out.
Do you just hate America? Is that what this is? Is there like a disdain here? Oh wow. Okay. All right. We're not getting into that. Okay. I did not know.
I don't.
Pro USA podcast.
I don't hate America. I'm very blessed to be an American. However, when you live overseas for so long, you learn to love it. You learn to enjoy it. And going back to the States is really, really hard when you're used to walking 30 minutes down the street on a sidewalk collectively, to being in Florida, where Florida doesn't have sidewalks ever anywhere. So it's just small things like that where, like, minor inconveniences add up in the States to where you're like, overseas is just better for my lifestyle. So that's how I feel about it. I love my time in the States. I love visiting the States. Just, you know, you gotta learn what you like and what you don't like when you're over there.
I just love how, like, minor inconveniences to you is no sidewalks versus living out of a suitcase, not speaking the language, not knowing the currency properly. Like, this is like the difference. You're wired differently. You need a factory reset, Kenna. We're losing you. People are never going to see you again. You're going to disappear. You're going to be backpacking, like, freaking, I don't know. What continent have you not been to yet? Have you hit Africa?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The only continent I have not been to so far now, I think, is Antarctica.
I was going to say. Well, now you have to do it, right? I feel like you're now in between a rock and a hard place.
I'm going to.
Now,
when I was down under.
That's going to be a good podcast.
You know, when I was down under near Australia, they would have cruises that would, like, take you over to Antarctica. You could stand on it. The cruise would, like, float out in the distance because you can't really stay in Antarctica. I wanted to go on it so bad, but they are bloody expensive. So not anytime soon.
Did you just say
but
bloody?
I will do it. Yeah. Yes.
Bloody? I'm sorry, what? Bloody
military kids,
British, right? Yeah, all sorts of stuff intertwining here. Tell me about your bartending vibe. What was that like? Because I don't know anything.
It was so fun.
Yeah,
I was at an Asian fusion restaurant, which is actually just right up the street from my house, and it was my
Asian
favorite
fusion restaurant in New Zealand. From a girl who lived in Florida. Gotcha. Okay.
It was my favorite restaurant, and I saw that they were hiring, and I just happened. I needed a summer job so bad. Like, I was like, I need money. And since I was a resident of New Zealand, I was able to work no problem. Like, didn't really have to sign much. And I'd already worked in New Zealand previously in high school, so it wasn't hard. Had all the paperwork done. Walked in, was like, here's my CV. I'd love to work for you. And he was like, why don't you come in tonight and just do, like, a trial? And then I got the job right there on the spot.
All right.
It was supposed to be just for waitressing, but ended up being for waitressing and bartending because I was like, hey, that looks fun and you need a bartender. I can help with the drinks. So would be at Bottomless Brunch, popping champagne, making mimosas, making Bloody Marys. We had all different types of drinks, like espresso martinis. It was just so fun. I loved it. So, like, I know all, like, the, like, how to shake it, to pop it, crack it, and pour it.
Satisfying all your concoctions. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Although
that was good money too. Look at you.
Oh, it was fantastic because waitresses in New Zealand get paid hourly. They don't get paid like they do in the States. So I was getting $10 an hour to be a waitress. And I was working like maybe 40 hours a week because I had two jobs at the time. They don't really. I think I got a tip like maybe three times. One was $5. One was a few. It like paid for my dinner. So I was like, cool, thanks. But it's not a normal custom to tip in New Zealand like it is in the States, but people love me so great. I would like get compliments. My boss would tell me, and so he'd pay for my dinner. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Sounds good.
If you get free dinner, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But that was my time. So cool. But some people think when you bartend like once, you know everything about alcohol drinks and how to mix them. And I'm like, no, they had a menu. I would just look at it, put it in.
Yeah.
I have a little idea of what to mix and what would be good. But for the most part, I'm like, I'm not just like an expert bartender. I don't know.
You're just following instructions, right? And then you also have to be very hospitable, I'm sure, as well. Very welcoming. Uh-huh. You have to have like a certain energy, which I'm sure you knocked out of the park. I had one thing before the Israel trip. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, the tipping. Is that only in the United States? Do they do that anywhere else? Because I know they didn't do it in Japan.
So,
did they do it in Europe?
So far, no. So, it's so different for every country. But so far, most of the countries, if you did not know this, I've been to, I think Ecuador is my 34th country now.
Jesus, there's flex all over us.
Yeah. And so, out of my experience, every country is so vastly different. However, the States has taken tipping to, like, such a different level that like it is a worker's wages, which is just not what it is overseas. Leaving like a dollar or two on the table is pretty normal in like Europe or here in Ecuador. It's not disrespectful like it is in Japan. It's just different. Like they'll take it and be like, thanks. But if you walk away without leaving a tip, they're not gonna be like, oh my gosh, they must have hated my hosting.
Right. I tell you what, Kat, tipping has gotten out of control in some places. Like, I'm not sure how much you like go like buy food in the States because you're never in the States. But I'll go to I'll walk up to some place. It's not a place where I like get sat down at. Like, I don't have a table. Uh-huh. I'm ordering at a counter, right? And they flip the freaking iPad around and give me like,
and they're like,
tip
would you
options.
Like to tip?
And it's like 15%, 20%, 50% or something insane. I'm like, what are you,
I always
what are you
do
talking
the custom.
About? Custom, like, I don't know. Sometimes I say no. I'm like, what am I tipping you for? Like, I don't get it. Like, you're not serving me. You're just punching my order into the computer. Like, sometimes I also get they need money, but at the same time, it's like, what's going on here? It's just, it's going to a different level. And obviously go ahead, you're right.
Sorry, one of the worst experiences I've had with tipping is when you're used to being overseas where you don't tip. Like, I came from Japan, New Zealand, where it's, like, pretty rare to tip, if not, like, just not acceptable. I got my hair done, and if you know anything about women's hair, like, it costs a lot of money, takes a lot of time. Uh-huh. So I got my hair done, and then was like, wow, thanks for the service, so great, paid for it, and then just, like, walked out and left. And I got my grandma's car, and she was like, how much did you tip her? And I went, and I was like, I forgot tipping is a thing in the States. I completely forgot. I was like, I can't believe I just did
that. You jerk. And what is wrong with you? She can't feed your children now. They're going to be eating alphabet soup.
I walked my sorry butt right back in there. It was like, I am so sorry. But we had like talked to like the hairstylist knew like I was from overseas. And I explained like overseas is just not normal. I just didn't even think about it. It's just what I'm accustomed to. And I handed her a bigger tip. I was like, sorry.
$3.
She's like, no, she was like, I don't expect tips. Like, it's not how I get paid. I'm like, I know how this goes. Like, I know what you're thinking in your head. You're thinking I'm completely rude. But since then, I have been scarred. And so every time I'm in the States, I'm always like my friends always have to remind me to tip. My roommate to this day will be like, did you leave a tip? And I'm like, no, darn, I forgot.
There's stuff like that that like, I mean, if what you pay to get your hair done as a woman in this country is ridiculous and no tip should be added. But there's certain services... That is just ridiculous.
I think it was like a $250 like session.
Ah, God.
With like a $20-$50 tip on top. It's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, that's insane. I don't even, and there's some things like you don't know if you should tip or not. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there are certain ones.
Like
dang
Ubers
it, I wish I had a good
taxis.
One.
Like, sure. Do you tip those?
I think you do. I think Ubers, yes. But at the same time, if their car is gross, like hell no.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't. It's hard to know the right thing to do. But I think in general, if they're being a nice person, if they're friendly, then you can always slide them a few, I guess. But this is not a hospitality podcast or morals or anything like this. Obviously, there's a soundbite of like a soundbite. That's like such a weird term. But there's like a clip from our last show where like my face is all red. I'm like, this is not a romantic podcast because we were talking about a relationship advice, and I was just like so flustered and like that. Like, it is an awful little segment, but that just made me remind me of that. So that's that. The Israel trip. Talk to me about that. That's a really big trip you went on this summer. I want to hear all about it. What were you most looking forward to, and what were you going there for? I know you went with a group, so tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah. So at my school, because of COVID, study abroad looks a little different. And so during the semester that I decided to go to Israel was actually their version of study abroad. So what you did is you took the class at my institution, and you would like learn all about Israel. It was like history and geography of ancient Israel is the class I was taking. So I was just learning all about Israel back in biblical times. So cool. awesome class, had an awesome professor. But then at the end of the course, you would leave for a week and go to Israel. But I was still in class while I was on that trip. So like I wrote a paper afterwards about my experience. I had to take notes at every site that I was at.
I'm sure you love that.
Debrief. Oh, I loved it. Yes. We would debrief after every site and kind of just like talk about like, this is the site that we're at. This is why it's important. This is what happened here. And it was so cool. Very educational. And if I remember correctly, yes, the day after school got out, I think I got out on like a Friday or something. I left on Saturday. So like, again, 24 hours leaving.
Quick turnaround.
Yeah. So my mom came down, said hi for like one of the first times in the semester, and then said bye, took me to the airport. I went to Israel for about a week. I think it was about 10 days. And we went to almost every holy site possible. My professor, he's gone there every year for about 30 years. So he's the expert. So he has all the connections. We would literally just pop into a site. And I don't think there wasn't any site that we didn't do, except for, if I remember, Temple Mount, because during the time it was kind of iffy with political issues. So just for safety, we didn't go up there. But I mean, if you name a site, I probably went to it in Israel. It was great.
Give me a favorite. Give me a good Jesus spot.
My favorite was Garden of Gethsemane, because actually I'm about to just like blow your mind for a second, but two days before I ended up getting a tattoo in Israel in the oldest tattoo parlor in the world. It's been there since 1300, and it's in downtown Jerusalem. Just was like, guys, 1300. Yeah, they have pictures and like evidence and like all this stuff.
Oh, they have pictures from 1300, right? Yeah.
Well, what I said doesn't make sense. They have pictures of like their great 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 grandfather like tattooing with stick and poke, but then they also have like the certification of like their family has been tattooing, so it's like a family run thing. It's not necessarily the establishment has been there since 1300. It was such a unique experience, so cool. But my tattoo was poppies, and I got in Hebrew. It's on my arm, actually. So I don't know if you can see it, but it's poppies. And then in Hebrew, it's, oh my gosh, sorry, Ecclesiastes 3:2. I had, in my brain, I was like, Colossians. Why am I saying Colossians? No, Ecclesiastes 3:2, which is set your mind on things above. That was an important verse to me. The poppies so they're Israel's national flower. However, in my time in Israel, I never saw a dang poppy once, except for when I went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we were there, and my professor was talking about Jesus praying before he was about to be crucified, and how he was trying to set his mind on other things, and he kind of connected all of that, and we got into the garden, and the garden is full of these red poppies everywhere, and so we were given an hour to just pray, and like just whatever you need to get out, give it to God and do it. And so I have a picture of me sitting in this like just poppies everywhere, just praying like the day after I got my tattoo. So very sentimental to me, and don't regret it whatsoever. And it's such a cool story. So that was my favorite spot.
And that is so cool. I'm like medium religious. I could be better. I have to ask though, does praying hit differently whenever you're in such like a holy site? Like, can you feel a difference being so close to like a place where Jesus literally was?
So during the trip, I had no expectations because I didn't want to set any. I didn't want to be like, yes, I want to feel the Holy Spirit everywhere I go.
Right.
But when I was there, I was just like, I mean, this is a cool sight, but when you're tired and it's hot outside and like the sun's beating on you, you're just like, this is so interesting. I'm looking at rocks. Like, it was very interesting.
Fair enough.
You're also taking notes, but you're also, you're just like,
you're focused on other things.
Exactly. Yeah. Your mind is somewhere else. But the Garden of Gethsemane just hit different because, it was just a very deep, like, to visualize, like, Jesus being in that, like, moment of, like, I call it, like, war prayer. Like, he's literally, like, fighting for his life. Like, I don't want to go on that dang cross, and this is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
So just to visualize him and his disciples, like, there. And then when it was, like, a moment of you go and pray, it was kind of, like, my first time being still since the whole semester, and so I kind of just got to sit there and like realize how I was feeling and what I needed to deal with, and so it did hit different. And then it was just like, whoa, this is the exact, well, that's probably cool, not stuff. The exact spot, but the exact
close
spot
enough.
It was really cool, and there were a few spots where like we got to sit with our like sit physically and touch the ground that Jesus would have walked with his cross. It's called the Via della Rosa. And that was so cool. And we played like worship music, and one of it was talking about Jesus carrying his cross. And so you're just in your head, you're imagining this guy going through so much pain and suffering. And then yeah. you're like, it happened right here. And as a Christian, like, that's really impactful to me. So yeah, I enjoyed every second of it each site. It grew my relationship with God, and it was really cool.
That is really cool stuff. I mean, just the trip, even for someone who may not be religious, that's like, just from a historical yeah. perspective, that's such a neat experience. Mm-hmm. One thing about the tattoo parlor, imagine like your family history goes back to 1300 tattooing, and then you're born and you want to be like a podcast host. Like, what happens? Yeah. Like that is like
right?
700, 800 years. Wait, can I not count? 700 years of peer pressure. That's a lot. Literally, like, all those people are expecting you, like, yes, I will be a tattoo parlor. I'm going to stick and poke and stick and poke. And you see, like, these portraits of your great, 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 great ancestors with their tattooing. And you're like, maybe I just want to be a NASCAR driver. That's just...
Yeah, I can confirm that the youngest, like, tattoo artist that was in there was the owner's son. And we had asked him that kind of, like, same idea. Like, did you just, like, fall into this? Is this something you want to do? It's more of a hobby for him. And so he still does it. He learns from his dad. He's an apprentice. And so he learns, but like, he has a main job. So I feel like it's kind of like a cool family thing. Like, you go in there, tattoo someone, call it a day.
Yeah, but it's like life insurance on the side or something, right? Like, it's,
yeah,
exactly. Okay, gotcha. I'm glad he's expanding his horizons. Maybe there can be more than one family business. That's really cool though. You went to such a historical place in the tattoo community, I'm sure.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you know this, but after I went to Israel, I was actually in Germany for a week to see my brother. And so that was also a cool thing. And I got to meet with military kids because he's a Club Beyond leader. I don't know if you know what Club Beyond is, but it's like a youth group for it's a youth group for military kids. And it's like not Christ centered, but like they kind of like introduce like Christianity to kids who like maybe don't know it. But it's really just a fun, like healthy community for kids to go to after school. And so that was awesome. And yeah, I got to spend time with my brother over there and be on a base for like the first time in forever. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so weird. I'd pull out my military ID and I was like, I had to get a new military ID for this occasion. And I don't know if you've gotten a new one recently. They look like
I have cards. Actually.
It freaks me out.
Yeah, they look much different than our old one.
Yeah, not a fan.
I mean, it's all right. So your brother's stationed there? What branch is he in?
No, he's a Club Beyond youth leader. So he's a contractor with the base.
Gotcha.
So he has like access to all the base facilities, but he's a contractor, lives off base. However, my other brother just got out. It's such a cool job, gives him cool experiences. But my other brother, middle oldest, he just got out of the Marine Corps.
Okay. Like, gotcha.
A month ago, maybe.
So you're the youngest? Have we talked about your brothers before? I feel like we haven't. What is wrong with me?
I don't think we have, but actually, funnily enough, my middle oldest brother went to high school with us. When we were freshmen, he was a senior.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
You never mentioned him. Are you kidding me? Where was he the whole time? What?
Such a small school, too. He was quiet and reserved. Yeah, he was on the football team.
So the exact opposite of you, huh? He was on the football team?
Yeah, he was also in ROTC, so some people knew him and then would see us together and be like, wait a minute. And they would like connect the dots of our last year and be like, are you getting related? And we were like, yes. We looked nothing alike.
Oh, well, there you go. I never, maybe I did see him. I just never connected the dots. What a shame.
Yeah.
Well, Kenna, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. Is there anything else you want to get to before we wrap this up? I know that we've done longer ones. I think one time we went like an hour and a half, maybe. But this is our point. I know you're very busy. You already mentioned you were very tired. You had a long day. I really appreciate it. Anything else maybe you want to get to?
I don't know if I can think of anything.
Okay.
I don't know. Unless you have like some dire questions that I just
I don't think I do. I've already answered all my dire questions. Are you kidding me? We talked about your dinosaur nuggets. That was very dire. And the New Zealand doesn't exist. That was a lot of fun. And gum being stuck to the bottom of your shoe. We hit all the important things, Kenna, and I'm sure we're going to be doing this again at some point, if you don't mind, of course.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I guess I do have one more live update I'm very proud of.
Please.
I'm the owner of a car at 20.
Oh!
I finally have a car. I don't know if you remember, but we talked about me not having a license, like, I think one of the podcasts. Like, I was like, it's a military kid thing. You just don't get your license. I got my license in May of this year.
And I'm assuming it works really well in Ecuador, huh?
Yeah, it works so good. Yeah, yeah. When you're walking to your internship.
Yes, well, yeah, but walking no, 30 minutes.
I found a car while I was a camp counselor online, and actually, no, my current boyfriend found this car, and then
we're just gonna drop that passively. Jesus, no, you're good.
Sorry, was like, I found this car that like you've been dying to have, and I was like, yes. So he checked it out, picked it up, we bought it. It was awesome. It's a 1993 Eddie Bauer Ford Bronco, and I love it.
Wow,
so cool.
That fits you as well. You know exactly what you want.
Yeah, but it's a gas guzzler, and I live in Florida, so that's why I'm here in Ecuador.
That's awesome. I'm proud of you. I know it does take military kids a long time at times. I'm sorry,
I'm
it's not
so
helpful.
There's some out there who still don't have their license. They're probably
Yeah, 100%. some okie bums too who are just out there taking the is it called the green line? That's what it's called, right?
Yes, the green line. That
yeah,
comes this on
is taking the green line. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. They're probably still living on the green line. Not to hate on okie bums, but they exist. We all know one. Come on. Thank you for that life update. That's very important. I'm sure everyone is on the edge
of
their
seat.
Yeah,
I feel like I should update.
That is important. Yeah, I wrote
it. It's an accomplishment. I fully own it, by the way. No installments, no nothing. It is mine.
Mm-hmm. It was
I feel like that's an accomplishment nowadays. Like,
it is.
Stuff is
no,
so
you're
expensive
right.
in the States.
You're not wrong. That bartending worked out. The stuff and the camp counseling. I mean, you're really busy. I'm not surprised. And you're obviously very successful and can't wait to do this again sometime. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
as always, getting to
up.
Ecuador. Dude, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to hear what happens next. Post Antarctica trip. I'll get some more scientists on. Who knows?
What was this?
I'm ending the show, Kenna. I'm done. I can't. All right, I'll see everyone next week. Thank you so much, Kenna. She'll probably be up for a Shammy Award too, so make sure to vote for her and check out theshanshow.com for all my content. Blah, blah, blah.
Have you ever done DMT? My